Here we go. Everyone, and welcome to the Catalyst Stories podcast. I'm John Hino, your host for today's episode, and today I'm so thrilled and excited to welcome Deborah Chan to the podcast. Now, Deborah is married to Justin. They've been married for going on 5 years in September, and together they have an 11-month-old son, Marcus. And some of you might be hearing this for the very first time, that Deborah is with child.
Surprise.
Surprise, yeah. That's right. She's expecting. And so, Lord Jesus, we just pray in the name of Jesus for good health and safety over Deborah and her future child.
Thank you, John. It's great to be here again.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, I was on the Engage to Flourish, but I'm really glad to be on Catalyst Stories.
Well, I'm so excited to have you. You know, I had such a wonderful time meeting with you and hearing your stories and your testimonies, and also hearing you share your insights on the special Mother's Day episode of Engage to Flourish. And you know, you were with Damon and the guys, and so I was just so impressed how you handled all those bombardment of questions. and I know our listeners are going to be blessed by hearing you share here today. So I'll start off. You know, actually, I didn't even finish introducing you, but that's okay.
Ahead.
So I just wanted to say that, you know, Deborah is a full-time mom, but also works a few days a week in the office for SCAN, which is a health plan provider for seniors. And here at Catalyst Christian Community, although Deborah's taking a break, she's been part of children's ministry and also a greeter.
Yeah.
And she has been at Catalyst Christian Community for the past 9 years, and she and Justin are a part of Lauren and Mindy Teggan's small group.
Yes.
So, yeah. And so with that, Deborah, yeah, welcome to Catalyst Stories.
Thank you. Thanks for the warm welcome.
Yeah. And, you know, I just want to give a special shout out to Uncle Brett and Auntie Brittany for babysitting Marcus.
The best. Thank you guys so much.
Yeah. But, you know, as I was sharing with you earlier, I did love how on Engage to Flourish, you know, we could hear Marcus cooing and belching. And so I just thought that was fun too, you know.
Yeah. But this time around, he'll be tangling all the wires and stuff. Yeah. So he's out there with Auntie Britt. Thanks, Britt.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah. So to start out with, Deborah, I'm going to ask all the listeners to guess what they think your favorite restaurant is. And so if I just want to say to the listeners, if you get it, you either know Deborah very well or you got extremely lucky.
Yeah.
So we'll give our listeners a few seconds, which will also let me interject how absolutely shocked I was to hear your response to that question.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. Hint, I'm giving them a big hint, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. So time's up. So Deborah, please reveal the answer to your question. What is your favorite restaurant?
Chipotle. Yeah, I just love Chipotle.
Yeah, and so now you can start by telling our listeners how you came to pick Chipotle.
Well, just my palate in general. I love like an assortment of things. So like with the rice and the veggies and the protein.
Yes,
and just like
yes.
I love Mexican flavors. I know Chipotle isn't like Mexican food. It's more like Americanized Mexican food. But
right.
I don't know. Like I grew up eating it because I am from Colorado.
Yes.
And that's
yes.
where it originated from.
Uh-huh.
So it was like one of the places we would go all the time. And
It's
kind of one of those comfort things for me. Just like whenever I need a balanced meal, but like something that's filling. And it used to only be like $5 back then.
I know.
So like I would like literally quantify everything with Chipotle. Like,
yes,
what that like t-shirt cost $20? That's like 4 Chipotle burritos. Like I would just like relate it that way.
Oh, that's hilarious. Yeah. And you're right. You reminded us about inflation nowadays because I remember those days when I mean you're getting a meal for $5.
It's almost $10 now. It's doubled.
Yeah. Which is still not bad, huh?
Yeah. Well, compared to everything else.
Exactly.
So, like, that's also a huge thing why I like it. I'm like, it's healthy, and affordable.
Yes.
And everywhere, because it's a chain.
That's right.
You know?
So that's right.
I love it.
Yeah. And when you told me that you were from Aurora, Colorado,
yep.
I totally got it at that point, because I knew that Chipotle had originated in Colorado. Mm-hmm. And so I thought you would find this interesting, but, you know, of course, the Denver area being very health conscious and environmentally conscious as well. Did you know that the location where the first Chipotle's opened in Denver used to be an ice cream shop?
Oh, how funny.
Yeah, supposedly. But I just thought that was so interesting. I mean, you talk about going from unhealthy to healthy, right?
Yeah.
That's funny. Yeah. So I thought it'd be great to ask you about what it was like growing up in Colorado.
You know, it was interesting because my family, we moved around a lot.
Yeah.
So I went to many elementary schools. At one point, we lived in the Rocky Mountains in Estes Park.
Oh, and
that's
okay.
Yeah, where
yeah, yes.
My dad had a convenience store, and we were like the only Asian family in this tiny, tiny town.
Yeah.
And funny enough, that's how my sister met her well, now husband. They went to middle school together.
Oh, okay.
And then we moved away and they didn't talk. And then later they reconnected again. And it was like all because of Estes Park.
Wow.
But just growing up there was very simple.
Yeah.
Well, back then, you know, technology wasn't a thing. So I was very much outdoors.
Yeah.
Spent a lot of time out there. My mom would always take us to like different hiking trails and stuff.
Oh,
wow.
She's
adventurous.
Nice. Yeah,
so
yeah.
We did a lot of that.
Nice.
It was a good childhood. A lot of running around.
Yes, yes.
And I had a lot of pets, and I love dogs.
Oh,
so, like,
okay.
I spent a lot of time with my dogs, like, outside.
Yeah, nice. Stuff. Wow. And did you also spend a lot of time in your parents' shop as well?
Oh, yeah. So in the convenience store, I'm not saying they worked us like child labor, but we stocked everything in the thing. We put, you know, like the labels for like the prices. We used
My
dad, it was like a convenience store plus a sandwich shop plus a video store, like all in one.
Oh, wow.
So like if someone was renting a movie, like me and my sister would race to find like the movie.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
To give to them. We would stock the coolers. Like, we worked a lot.
Yeah.
We repack ice.
Yeah.
So
Now, did you get paid, too?
No. Our payment was having a roof over our heads.
Yeah. No allowance? Oh.
No, we got to eat whatever we wanted in the convenience
store. Oh, there you go. There you go. Yeah. And so, now, I know when you were in high school going into the 11th grade, your parents called a meeting with you and your two sisters and gave you some rather disappointing news. And so I wondered if you can talk about that meeting and what happened as a result.
Yeah, so I just remember it was pretty, like, serious because my parents don't normally have, like, a family meeting.
Yeah.
So we got together and my dad shared the news that he had the opportunity to open up a business in California and that he was going to take it. Like, this wasn't a discussion of should I take it or not. It's, I mean,
he had already made up his
moving.
Mind. Yeah.
And it was more of a meeting for my sisters to decide if they want to come. But I was in 10th grade, going into 11th grade at the time. So there was no choice for me. It's like, you have to come with us.
Yeah.
So they said, Deborah's coming with us, but you two, my older sisters, like, do you want to come? And of course, naturally, you know, Colorado's all they've known, and a lot of their friends are there. So my middle sister was going into college at the time, so she was like, no, I'm staying. And then my older sister was like, already had a life out there, so she's like, no, I'm going to stay. So it was just me, and I remember going to bed that night just crying because I was just, it didn't feel fair that I had no choice.
Yeah.
And they were literally uprooting me from everything I've known.
Right. Yeah. And your sisters are, you're leaving your sisters behind as well, huh?
Like every foundation I had in my life, because at that point, like, I think I was going to the same church I've been going to for a very long time, the same friends. At this point, because I said I moved around a lot, when I entered high school was like when I was getting into like more extracurricular activities. I was in volleyball, I was in student council, and I was just finding my own personality at the time. So, and I had my first boyfriend, and it was just like life was going well. Then all of a sudden, just like uprooted.
I mean, that was your identity at the time. Your identity was tied up in everything you were involved in, in there. And so I know you said the first night you cried, but that also eventually led to some resentment as well. And so I wondered if you can talk about just that struggling with that.
Yeah. So they let me finish the rest of my sophomore year in Denver. And then I moved to California, and you know, when you first, I'm an optimistic person to begin with, so I'm trying to have this positive outlook, but nothing was panning out like I expected it to. Like, you, when you think of California, you think of like the beach life, and like maybe I could get a job at like a surf shop next to the beach and like all this stuff. But like, we moved to Cypress, California. That's like, it's like the most suburban, quiet, nothing around. The beach is pretty far from there. I had no friends. I had no form of transportation. I couldn't go anywhere. So very quickly, I just kind of fell into depression really fast because it was just not what I was expecting. And I was just so alone at that point. And so the resentment was starting to build a lot. So then when what had happened was I got into a really big fight with my parents because my attitude, you know, was just not right. And so all my responses was very short, very disrespectful. And my dad kind of snapped, and he, thing about my parents, they're very, words, how do I explain this? They just, they don't think before they speak. They just speak with emotion. They speak, with whatever they're feeling at the time. And my dad does have a temper, so he just went off, and he was just yelling at me. And like, usually I'm the good, like out of me and my sisters, I am the good child. I'm the one that follows the rules. I never get yelled at. So seeing him yelling at me at like this was like a shock to me, but just the words he was saying was so like mean. And
I think you even said something like he said he was going to disown you or if you moved back to Colorado or something like
he
that.
He said, like, if you're going to be like this, you better make a decision if you want to stay or go. And if you do go, you're not my daughter anymore. Like, you can live off the streets for all I care. You can beg for money. Like, I won't care. Like, you're not my daughter anymore. So, you know, that leaves a lot of, like, scarring things. But the funny thing about like, I don't know, Asian parents is like they don't apologize for these kind of things. So like the next day he acts like nothing happened, you know? I was highly debating if I should move back. I called my sisters to see if like they will take care of me, take me in. And it kind of like, you know, as time went on, like the pressure went down and we kind of just went on life like nothing happened. But there wasn't healing from that for a very long time.
And Deborah, what was the relationship with your mom like at that time?
It was tough for her because she had to stand by my dad. Like they made this decision together. And she would like catch me like crying by myself in my room and stuff. And she's very, a thing about my mom, she has no boundaries. So like, she won't leave me alone. Like, even though I want to be by myself, she'll be like, why are you crying? And like, just kind of in my face about it. Like, she just doesn't take into consideration of like what I'm going through at the time. Just like give her space, you know, like naturally as like, I would be like, oh, okay, she's upset. I'm just going to give her space. But my mom doesn't have that intuition. She's just like, tell me why you're crying. Why are you upset? Or very like in your face.
Right. did she have the expectation that you were supposed to be okay with the move and make it work and
kind of that type of response? I think both of them were just like, she's such a happy girl.
Yeah.
Like, she'll find friends and she'll move on quickly. But I think quickly they learned it wasn't going that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I want to fast forward to your Catalyst experience because I just love this part of the testimony. And it's because, you know, God has a way of redeeming everything, right?
Yeah.
You know, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And God has done some amazing reconciliation with your parents since, I believe, since the your time at Catalyst. Correct me if I'm wrong. Maybe it happened before then.
No. Catalyst is really where it started.
Yeah. Yeah. So I wondered if you can start by talking about just some of the ministries and the people that have helped give you perspective and really helped move you forward. I know you mentioned PMT.
Yes. Okay. So where I kind of want to start is I think the first thing that highlighted me when I started visiting Catalyst, because I was just, seeing other churches at that point. I remember seeing the families. And seeing just the relationship that, like, the parents had with their kids and especially children's ministry. Because I remember when I came, like, all the kids would sit in the front together. Uh-huh. And they would, like, be up and dancing during praise. And just their parents were just, like, letting them be free. And whenever the children were encouraged to go pray for adults, which is like one of the most scariest things I could think of, like as a child, like if someone were to ask me, can you go pray for like an adult? I would be like, no. But just the confidence that these kids had and just like the spiritual maturity.
Uh-huh.
And like, you can tell, like they hear from the Lord and they're not afraid to just speak it.
Yes.
And so just witnessing that, I'm like, wow, like these parents are doing a wonderful job raising their kids and just like observing how they are. I'm like, wow, I really didn't grow up with parents like this. So it was, that's what really drew me to Catalyst.
Yeah.
And then having like people check in on me constantly or praying for me.
Uh-huh.
Like Mimo is one of them. Hi, uh-huh, Mimo. Uh-huh. Shout out to Mimo. She gets brought up a lot in these podcasts.
Yes, yes.
But she's such a big heart, and she would always check in on me, even before I became a mom, but especially when I became a mom. She was constantly like, how are you doing, Mom? Like, what do you need? And she even offered to, like, come over one night so I could have a full night rest. And she was like, I'll watch Marcus. You can, like, sleep.
Wow.
Like, don't worry. And she's just, and she, like, helped me with my breastfeeding journey because it was a really hard journey in the beginning. And she got me to see one of the, what are they called? Lactation consultants at her job. And it was just such a blessing to have this Catalyst community kind of be, like, they kind of healed my, like, the parental figures that I've wanted all my life, I've like seen in a lot of people within Catalyst. Mm-hmm. So I remember you talked about PMT.
Yeah.
Right before I got married, I was engaged, and this was a time where I felt like things were stirring between me and my parents again. Mm-hmm. I mean, we were always like, you know, chaotic roller coaster ride, but there's something about knowing that your chapter with them is kind of like moving on when you're going to get married and you're going to move out. And there was kind of a grieving period of just like for your whole life, they were part of your identity. They raised you, they loved you, and you're leaving them. And so I don't know, something was stirring in me. So I like wanted to go to PMT for that. And so, and there was a lot of unsaid things there. And so when I was in PMT, I didn't know exactly what we were going to talk about, but it all ended up being about my mom. And just they would ask me a lot of questions and me kind of just explaining the type of woman that she is, which like I'll just say quickly here, just like she's kind of, if you've met my mom, she's fun. She's a fun woman.
Life
of the party. She can crack jokes. She laughs hard. Like, kind of like me, but she has no sense of awareness of herself, like how she affects others. And I think a lot of times she puts on that, like, I'm funny and like people love me, but she doesn't think of like sometimes her words can be harsh, or some of the stuff that comes off can be very like, why would you say that? You know, or like there's no boundaries there, where she crosses them all the time. She's very aggressive in her like tone and just like even her like actions. Like I remember in the morning when I would sleep in, or like a Saturday morning, she just bursts open through my door and just opens the curtains, like lets the sun in. Like she doesn't like consider, I don't know, just boundaries. So it's a lot of frustrate. Like when someone like that is your mom, it's hard to appreciate the good parts of her, because I just see a lot of negative things. And she triggers me like no one on this planet can ever trigger me.
Yeah, I think you made the comment on Engaged to Florist that she was your kryptonite.
She's
I think
my kryptonite.
You use that like, term.
I can be in the best mood ever, and then she can come in her room and say or do one little thing, and I will like flip like in a second.
Yeah. Now, so you go through the PMT, but it sounds like you also gained a level of understanding about and almost acceptance about the way that your mom is.
So I think within PMT, what the most powerful thing was, first identifying the things that, because for me, it's just, I would always just tell people, my mom is crazy. She's like a psycho. Like that's what I would just describe her as. But going into PMT, there was like, they would unveil to me like that she doesn't have boundaries, that you need to create boundaries with her, that she understands, that she's probably not going to change. And it's in your hands and how you respond to her and how you interact with her. That's your power. Like you can either forgive and just like, I don't try to accept her as she is, and it's really up to me as her daughter to kind of first give her that like rope, because I feel I never give her grace. So first of all, giving her grace, and then just knowing that she's probably not going to change, so it is really in my hands to, if we want this relationship to mend, for me to kind of be the one to lend that grace. I don't know how else to explain that.
Yeah. And in the end, you gained forgiveness for your mom, didn't you?
I had to say some prayers of forgiveness. I had to like write out things that she did in my life that really stood out, and like praying over those and praying forgiveness over those. And that really helped me.
Yeah. I was going to ask what was that like, you know, being able to forgive,
At first it was heavy, you know, like it's so uncomfortable having to say these things out loud, like, because I wrote them out at first, but then having to like pray them out loud. But I think there's so much power in doing that, because you're releasing those things you've been holding on to for years and years and years. And so afterwards, you know, I was emotionally drained. I remember I like took a really long nap afterwards, but it's just feeling so much like relief of stuff I was carrying for a really long time.
Yes. Wow. Wow. That must have been so freeing, huh?
Yeah.
Over time, huh?
Yeah. It was good. Yeah. So Catalyst has been a huge part of my healing journey.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. I mean, you're living proof of it. We could put a plug in for, you know, the PMT, IPM, Healing and Wellness and Freedom and Deliverance Ministries. Yeah. You know, you're living proof of just that space they created, that safe space they created for you, and seeking the Lord for you and praying over you, and you're living proof of just God's grace and work through those ministries. So, yeah, thank you for sharing that.
Of course.
Yeah. Now, your husband, Justin, also gave you a perspective as well. And so I wonder if you can share about that.
Yeah. Justin and I, if you guys know us, we're like complete opposites. And I think that's why we're attracted to one another. But something about him that really opened my eyes was he always mentioned in our like conversations that he gives people the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what does that even like mean? And he just naturally, I think, just he doesn't assume the worst in people, or he just assumes that he's assuming that their intentions weren't to hurt you or be malicious, or maybe they didn't think things through before they did that action or said that thing.
Yeah.
And so to never take it personally and give them the benefit of the doubt. And yeah. I think that just idea really encouraged me to see it that way. Like whenever I thought about my parents or my mom especially, just that, she's very instinctual. She'll just do whatever comes into her head, the first thing that she thinks of. And it's never to harm or never to be malicious.
Yes, yes.
And to just see her in a way that she's kind of like a child. Like it's hard to like discipline a child when they don't know. And she really didn't know. Like she just didn't have the self-awareness.
Yes.
So
yes.
Trying to give her grace in that helped me.
Yeah, that's so awesome. And I think you were even sharing with me too, Deborah, that I think it was a talk that you might have had also with Mimo about giving grace to yourself as a mom as well. And I think you mentioned the idea that, you know, that we all fall short, right? And
I think, okay, becoming a mom, the first thing that I like remember like a lesson being learned is like giving grace to myself and to just others in general, because I feel like just life in general is just so chaotic, and raising children, especially when it's your first time, there's so many unknowns. There's so many, like your hormone levels are so crazy. Like your anxiety is through the roof. I've never experienced so much anxiety in my life. And like, just for an example, the whole breastfeeding journey was a lot harder than I thought it would be. I knew it was going to be hard going in, but it proved to be harder. And I started to value myself with just how much I produced in that pumping session whenever I would pump something and like, it was great. I would feel good about myself. And then another time, if it was a little bit, I would just feel really, really bad. Like, I'm not providing for him. I'm not providing for my child. And it really would, right, like, my mood would be up and down with all of that. And so I remember I would always be texting my sister, Mimo, and just a lot of my girlfriends that some of them are moms, some are not. But they would really encourage me to just give myself grace. Like, you're providing as much as you can, and you're doing as much as you can, and that's all you can do. And there's nothing wrong with formula feeding if you need a supplement. And so I had to start learning to just let it go and don't value myself in those things. And especially like my whole view on parents in general, like especially my own, but it changed so much. Like, we're really all doing the best we can with what we know, with what we have. And we have to give grace for the rest of it, because we all fall short. We're all flawed.
Yeah, yeah. And well, you know, I just love how what you just said is reminds me of Romans 3:23. You know, the fact that we all fall short of perfection, which makes us need the grace that comes only from God. And you know, all we have all, you know, we're all flawed and need God's grace, huh?
I was constantly in prayer like the first couple of months, like anytime I had like those thoughts of doubt or just the anxiety would rise, I'm just literally repeating like simple things to the Lord, but like just constantly like leaning on him for grace.
Yeah, definitely. So since we're on the subject of becoming a mom, it'd be good to segue into that. Having Marcus and becoming a mom was a dream come true for you, huh? And let me just start by asking you, what do you enjoy most about being a mom to Marcus?
I mean, it is Oh, overwhelming in the best way, but yeah. also it can be hard. But I think it's just honestly seeing him experience things. Like, everything is new to him.
Yeah.
Nothing yeah. is, you know, like, everything is such a wonder.
Yes, yes.
And seeing, like, even, like, today when it came in here, the, uh-huh. the lights.
The light, uh-huh.
He thinks it's amazing. And it kind of, like, brings me back to that childlike spirit of just seeing life in that perspective. And I get excited for the littlest things. Like, I'm going to take him to the park today, but I know how happy he's going to be. So I'm, like, stoked to go, you know.
Yeah.
So just
yeah.
enjoying like little things in life through mm-hmm. him.
Uh-huh.
Experiencing it all over again, basically.
Yeah, 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 exactly.
It's really fun.
Exactly. And you know, you just remind, you know, through Marcus, just remind us about how, you know, again, God talks about, you know, that childlike faith. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if he's probably thinking, you know, when we enjoy the simple things in life, he's probably up there thinking the same thing about us, mm-hmm. huh? And so that's neat. You remind us of that when you talk about Marcus. And he was, I mean, when he was in here this morning, just looking around, and yeah, like you said, everything, all the colors and all the shapes were just so fascinating to him. And I just love his smile too.
Yeah.
I hope he never loses that.
Yeah. That's very happy baby.
Yes, yes. Okay. So you've said that becoming a mom has helped draw you closer to your mom. And you I know you talked about that with the guys on Engaged mm-hmm. to Flourish. And so I wondered, because at first you had some reservations about your mom helping you out with baby Marcus. And so I wondered if you can talk about those reservations and then what changed for you.
Okay. Reservations, one, she's my biggest trigger. And I didn't want to have that negative energy, negative feelings when I have my child. And just experiencing how she was with my sister when she had her kids, she kind of brings more chaos in the whole situation. Like, it's all in good intentions.
Yes.
Like, she'll
yes.
cook like 5 stews at once to make sure you always have food, but it's like overwhelming and there's just too much.
Uh-huh.
And it just like really reeks the house with just all this smells and pots and pans everywhere.
Yeah.
And she just kind of invades your space.
Uh-huh,
like, she
uh-huh.
doesn't give you space. She has no boundaries, like I said.
Yeah. It sounds like, you know, with all the stews, that's her way of showing affection,
yeah.
isn't it?
Huh? Yeah. I think a lot of Asian parents,
yeah.
it's more through service-oriented love than words and
yeah.
time. So, yeah, so that was my reservations.
Yeah.
I knew it was going to be a struggle for me mm-hmm. to speak to her lovingly mm. and show that kind of grateful spirit that I want to share, but it's just how she affects me kind of gets in the way of
mm-hmm.
that.
Yeah.
And so to my surprise, I mean, in the beginning, yes, there were a lot of like, not fights, but like me outbursting, you know, like, mom, like, like just being short and snappy with her. And especially with the breastfeeding journey, she had a lot of comments to say, which fed into the whole negativity. So we had to talk about that. And then just a little backstory. My parents,
yes.
they went through, 2021 was a really hard year for them. They lost both of their parents. Or both their mothers,
their
and they were
yeah.
Our last living grandparents. And I think that really took a toll on their marriage, and they just weren't loving towards one another. And so it kind of pushed them to this point of, we need counseling or we're going to divorce because we're just not going to make it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think for my dad especially, it was the lowest point he's ever been in his life. This was the second time we had a really big family fight, like right before Christmas of 2021. Mm. And he kind of at this point, disown not just me, but like my entire family. Like, he cut ties with like his aunt there in Colorado. He cut ties. He tried to cut ties with me and my siblings. My brother-in-laws were involved. All of this happening in front of my nieces who are very young. So it was very upsetting. And this was the second time he's disowned me. I'm sure he's disowned my sisters a couple of times. But just knowing that he was at such a low point, that was the only way he was willing to go to therapy with my mom. Marriage counseling.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that in itself was all God. Learned a lot through that, not just of the like their marriage, but themselves. And they went through a lot of like their childhood and how they were raised and why they are the way that they are.
Yeah.
And I think that opened a lot of questions for both of them. And my dad actually, we had a birthday thing for him in January. So like a month later after the fight,
yeah,
we got together. It was awkward. I already told Justin, if he doesn't apologize, like, I'm done. Like, I don't want to talk to him. I don't want to see him. So I went in, like, guards up, like, just reactive, right? And I remember Justin, like, under the table would just, like, have to, like, put his hand on my leg, like, because I would kind of start saying defensive things, but just letting him talk. And so he talked, he said his piece, he really, really sincerely apologized and said that that was the lowest point of his life where the enemy had a really strong hold on him, and he doesn't mean to say these things when he's upset.
Yeah, yeah.
And him apologizing, honestly, I think brought so much healing from the first time, too, when he disowned me. It just, like it was like an umbrella cover of just, like, everything that's happened.
Yeah.
It really helped me forgive a lot of that.
Yes.
And
yes,
let go of that resentment.
Yeah. And, you know, we had talked about, gosh, how much courage that takes to, you know, for you know, especially for an Asian parent, right? To apologize to, like that, to their kids.
Yeah. And I really think, like, him going to therapy, because he wouldn't have realized a lot of things about himself. And then for my mom, for her, she was wondering, like, I think this is the first time she's, like, kind of had a self-awareness of, like, huh, is it because of this, like, being raised like this, I am the way that I am? Like, her father died when she was pretty young.
Oh,
so I feel like she didn't really grow up having a father figure. And so she would ask me, so, like, when she would come over to watch Marcus, she would start asking me questions like, was I a good mom? Like, is there anything I do that bothers you? Or, like, what did I do as a mom that, you know, really bothered you? And that in itself, she caught me off guard. I was blindsided.
Yeah, yeah.
In my head, I had a whole list of things to say. But, like, you know, you don't want to, like, just blurt them out and crush her spirit.
Right,
so I'm trying to say it in the most loving way. But, you know, just, like, the little things, I'm like, you're very, very strong in your ways.
Yeah.
You don't really think of or consider other people. And I would give, like, examples. And so she's like, yep. And, like, her response was very surprisingly accepting. Like, yeah, I know I do that. Okay, like, what else? And so I was just saying a few things here and there and also sharing, like, fears I have now that I have a child. Like, I was telling her, I was like, Mom, I know I don't speak to you in the most respectful way, and my tone is always short with you, but I just, to let you know, like, I don't want to talk to you like that. Like, it's just my reaction to the things that you say and do.
Yeah.
And especially in front of Marcus, I don't want him to hear that and dismiss you like I dismiss you, because he will. Like, if that's all he sees,
right,
that he's just not going to take grandma seriously, because I don't take grandma seriously. So I was like, for the sake of him, like, we need to fix this, like, however we are. And she totally agreed, and she was like, yes,
Real receptive.
Yeah, really receptive. Yeah. And she was like, I want that too. Like, tell me how we can do this. Or if I'm too much, pull me to the side and tell me. Or she always said, give me this look and I will tell myself to stop, you know. Uh-huh. And even though I know her intentions are so good, and I feel like a lot of her ways are set. So just her acknowledging that, though, brought me a lot of healing.
Yes.
And a lot more understanding that she's not naive as I perceive her to be. Like, now that she knows and we've, like, established it, I can talk to her about it. Like, it's not something I just say she doesn't know, so I can't even tell her. Yeah. Like, now that we've established this, we could talk about it, and I could explain to her this exact situation, this is what you did, and it upset me because of this, you know?
Yeah.
And that in itself will just help her realize more and more, mm-hmm. be more self-aware, and hopefully change.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And I just can't help but, you know, you just shared about your mom, but also your dad, about, you know, hearing the apology. And so as you reflect back on just that period of hearing the apology from your dad, and then those questions that your mom was asking to try and, you know, try and meet you halfway almost, what has that meant to you and your family?
Honestly, it's meant a lot, because I feel like I'm in a different place with my parents than I've ever been.
Yeah.
And especially, like, different than my siblings, because I feel like they still have important conversations to have that they haven't had with them. Mm-hmm. And they live in Colorado still, so it's kind of harder mm-hmm. for them to have mm-hmm. that. But I'm really grateful that I get this time with them in California, and they get this time with Marcus, and I honestly feel like this was necessary for, like, this next stage of parenthood for mm-hmm. me. Mm-hmm. It's really opened my eyes that, like, it's never too late, you know?
Yeah.
It kind of shows me, like, what kind of parent I want to be, because I definitely don't want to continue this cycle of brokenness and miscommunication. And I think Catalyst has a lot to do with that, of just having that environment and just people to talk to. Like, I'm probably going to talk to a lot of parents there and ask them, like, any situation and stages that Marcus and future baby go through. I have so many people to go to and ask, like, for advice. And I just feel like we have the power to make change, like, generational change, and stop, like, the brokenness.
Yes.
And I feel like God put me in this season with my parents right now for the next generation, for my kids.
Yes. You know, something you said that really stands out was when you said you want your kids to have respect for your parents, or at least have them see you showing respect for them, whether it's, you know, the tone of your voice, as you were saying. And I thought that was so neat, Deborah. When I was little, when I would be rebellious, mm-hmm. my dad, I remember one time he sat me down and he opened up the Bible to Exodus 20, where it says, honor your father and your mother in the Ten Commandments. And I'll never forget what he said. There's a second part to that scripture that says, honor thy father and mother, and that's so that your days in the land might be long. and always that always stood out to me, because I thought, how is that by honoring your parents, your father and mother, that, you know, you're almost like you would live, you know, you would live a long life.
Yeah.
And then I couldn't help but think to some points that you made, that, you know, you came to the realization that your parents, you know, with quirks and all the things, that they, at heart, they really have our best interests in mind, don't they?
Yeah.
And the things that they do and the things they say, they're really as much as maybe we don't accept it, but you know, they're said in love. Yeah. I mean, they're said because they love us,
yeah,
and they want the best for us. Mm-hmm. And I thought, gosh, you know, just what you're encouraging, you know, moving forward with Marcus is going to go so far to reinforce that fact, mm-hmm, that, you know, that Marcus, you know, that he might grow up knowing that you have his, and Justin have his best interests in mind, and you only wish the best for him.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. So, one other question, parenthood and how that's changed your perspective.
Oh, well, I think, we are the products of our parents, and yeah, just seeing my parents and like where they've got, like, come, like in this past, we're in 2023, like 2-ish years since that incident.
Yeah.
It's just opened my eyes to just humility and just having that, I don't know, like it's never too late to just go back, you know,
uh-huh,
like
uh-huh,
fix your past, hurts, and it doesn't even have to be like, it's more of a heart to heart thing. Like it's like my dad just saying sorry kind of umbrellaed everything, you
yes,
know, that he did.
Yes.
Like he didn't have to like name everything he
yes,
did.
Yes. Yes.
But just like as believers, like we just want that heart to heart connection with that person, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that in itself is a good reminder for me as a parent now, that there's going to be situations, there's going to be words that are said, there's going to be like things that hurt, but always seek that heart to heart connection.
Yes.
And,
yes,
having humility.
Yeah.
And a lot of grace.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
Yeah. And I just hope my kids really remember me for that, you know, more
yeah,
than the things that I say or do.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Well, you know, the word humility stands out for me, and I know the guys mentioned that on the podcast, mm-hmm, with you as well. And I just had wanted to quote a couple scriptures because when I thought about, you know, what your dad and your mom, how they reconciled with you. I couldn't help but think of James 4:10 in the New King James Bible that says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. And I loved also Psalms 149:4 in the NIV that says, for the Lord takes delight in his people. He crowns the humble with victory. And I just think, gosh, you've had some victories there, huh?
Yeah. It took a long time for the victories to come, but here we are.
Yeah.
God's timing.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, just if I can quote one more scripture.
Yeah, of course.
Philippians 2:5-8, it says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset of Christ. And then in verse 8, it says, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. And just to, you know, emphasize again that Jesus has given us the ultimate example of humility, and I know he wants us to do the same as well.
Yeah.
Okay, so one final question now.
Okay.
So looking back in your life, the move from Colorado to LA, the struggles with, you know, the identity and the relationship with your parents, how do you feel God showed himself to you through that very difficult time?
Wow. That's a loaded question.
I know it is. That's why I saved it for the end.
I think God's timing is just perfect.
Yeah.
I was sharing with you when we were first talking how I was 16 years old when I moved here.
Yes.
And I am next year, 2024, yeah, will be another 16 years of living in California.
That's right.
And just to see where I am with my parents from then till now, and just the journey that God's taken me to get to where we are has been like, God doesn't do things randomly.
Yes.
I think every stage had a purpose, and I learned a lot through every year since the 16 years that when I moved here. And I feel like if it was before me having kids, I wouldn't have been as receptive. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't have had this much grace towards my parents. Mm-hmm. But I think because of the stage of life that I'm in and becoming a parent myself really helped me be more receptive and give more grace and have this perspective that I have right now.
Yes.
And it's funny, when we started our small group, we just ended what we went over the intimacy series that Pastor Barry curated, and it was all about parents, like our earthly parents, and comparing it to how God is. And that in itself had me reflect a lot about my own parents and the type of parent I want to be. And it's just, nothing's coincidental. God's just been there every step of the way.
Yes.
And
yes.
Even though it's hard, because I feel like going through all of this, I call them growing pains, you know, it's painful, but I feel like I've gained a lot of more perspective and things that are necessary for me to be the parent that I want to become. For my kids.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, amen.
God is good all the time.
Yes, that's right. That's right. Yeah, so Deborah, as we start to close our time together, first of all, I want to thank you for being here on Catalyst Stories and sharing your incredible testimonies and your journey with us.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you bet. And I'd like to lift up a prayer of thanksgiving for your testimonies and for listeners as well. So, yeah, let's pray. Father God, thank you that through Deborah's adventure from Denver to L.A., Lord, you had a plan and a purpose for her life. Even though she might not have seen it at the time, Lord, for your word says in Proverbs 19:21, many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purposes that prevail. And Lord, I just thank you that you've given us, you've pointed us the way, Lord, and I just want to quote Joshua 1:9 in the English Standard Bible that says, "Do not be frightened, do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." So Lord, help us to embrace these promises and many others from you as well. And thank you, Lord Jesus, for the many people in Deborah's life that have helped give her perspective, understanding, and grace, both for her parents and for herself, Lord. And I just thank you, Lord Jesus, that that has led her to forgiveness and reconciliation for her own parents, Lord. So we just give you thanks for that. And thank you, Holy Spirit, for the incredible selflessness and humility of Deborah's parents, who went through the marriage counseling to save their marriage and their family, and for the fruit that has come out of that. And I just want to quote Psalms 149:4 that says, "For the Lord takes delight in his people. He crowns the humble with victory." So thank you for those victories, Lord, with Deborah and her family. And I again, just want to quote Philippians 2:5-8, "In your relationships with one another, have the mindset of Christ Jesus." And in verse 8 that says, "He humbled himself to becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross." And Lord, may we have that same mindset as well. And Father God, thank you for giving Deborah an openness to hear your words and your perspectives, Lord. And as you've said in Proverbs 12:15, that the wise listen to advice. And finally, thank you, Lord Jesus, for the perspectives you've downloaded to Deborah through her experiences of being with her mom, for the grace that you've given her, Lord, for her parents and for others, Lord. And as she goes forward to become a parent, I pray that, Lord, you would just continue to use Deborah, Lord, as an encouragement for other parents that might be struggling in their relationships, Lord, with their own parents as well. And now, Jesus, may you use these testimonies in Deborah's life to inspire all of us to become all that you created and called us to be in Christ Jesus, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Deborah. And that's it for today's episode of Catalyst Stories. Until next time, take the time to reflect on and share your God-given testimonies and see how God uses you to become a catalyst of encouragement and inspiration to others. God bless.